This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
What does it mean to be pro-abortion in America? Does it mean that you are actually against the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God who gave us life? And the same God who gave us life also gave us liberty at the same time. It seems that in our Declaration of Independence, we affirm the idea that we are to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You cannot have liberty and the pursuit of happiness if you have been mandated to be killed in the womb or out. So today on Viewpoint, we talk about this on the eve, virtually the eve, of our national election, which will determine whether America will revert to offering her children to Moloch. That's what Israel did in following the pattern of the ancient pagan governments and societies and civilizations who offered their children to Moloch. In other words, in order to achieve some purpose that they intended, they would put their children in the hands, so to speak, of an idol, Moloch, and have that idol cast their children into a burning fire to exterminate them. That's what Moloch was all about. And Israel began to do the same thing. And God, through the prophets, excoriated Israel for what they were doing. It was a heinous sin before God, the creator of the universe, and the one who chose Israel as the apple of his eye. He said, you're defiling, you're defacing the chosenness, and you're rending yourselves no more to be favored in my eyes. And because of their persistence, that and a number of other things, persistence to rebel against God, the 10 northern tribes of Israel were permitted to be captured and dispersed by the Assyrian king Sennacherib. That's why we call them the 10 lost tribes. They have not been since identified, dispersed throughout the face of the earth. But then Judah began to revert to the same patterns in the south. And ultimately, God caused them to be dispersed throughout the earth through the Roman Empire that tore down the temple and dispersed the Jewish people throughout the earth, just as God had said he would do in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if they refused to obey his voice and do his will. So here's the question that I have for you today. Would God create an exception for America? If we refuse to hear the voice of the Lord, and even after we attempted to make a correction to an infamous law, if you could call it that, Roe versus Wade, that even Beta Ginsburg, the Supreme Court justice, said was ready to be destroyed. In other words, overturned. Why? Because it wasn't legitimate. It was not a legitimate law or Supreme Court ruling because it had no legal foundation. It was made up out of whole cloth. And even she knew that it should be overturned and wondered how soon it would be. So it was eventually overturned a few years ago and stirred up a hornet's nest among the pro-abortion crew, primarily Democrats in America. And so today, at this very moment, you and I face a decision for destiny, a decision for destiny for our country. Will we or will we not agree with the Creator's viewpoint concerning life? God said in his word that whoever takes another's life must have their life taken from them. That's correct. He did. You know, the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, that's more. That's taking a life because you took somebody else's life. So are we going to give governmental authority and revert back even in a worse way to legislate another Roe versus Wade on steroids? That is what Kamala Harris has dedicated herself to do. That is the primary motion, the primary urgency, the primary issue from her perspective of this presidential election. Killing our unborn. What would you call that? Is that hostility toward God? Is it hostility toward Christians? Is it hostility toward life? Is it just penultimate selfishness? What would you call it? We want to look at that here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And is it Christian to be pro-abortion? Is that really possible? How can you say you're a Christian and be pro-abortion when indeed you're actually mitigating yourself, orienting yourself directly in the face of the God who created life and said whoever takes the life of another must have their life taken from them? He called that justice. But today we don't believe in that kind of justice, apparently. No, we have decided that what a woman wants or what a man wants from a woman that he's impregnated or what a father or mother wants from a daughter who has become pregnant with a child that the father doesn't want, that he thinks it embarrasses him, or a pastor wants to please the feelings of someone who says, well, I just never planned on this, and I never was expecting to be pregnant, and I can't do this, and it will affect my college degree, and it will affect my trajectory in my work, and so on. Are those really appropriate rationales and reason to promote the killing of a baby? Really, think about it. So on Viewpoint here today, we're going to be confronting this, and we're going to be looking at it from a variety of different views, and I'm glad that you've joined us again. It's conversation, hopefully, with ever-increasing conviction. You see, if we're not convicted over an issue like this, we will eventually be condemned. And the spirit of condemnation will come over you even though you thought, you rationalized, you reasoned that you were pleasing other people. For instance, maybe you had a child that has become pregnant out of wedlock, and you don't want that child. Just like Barack Obama said, I wouldn't want my daughters to end up having a baby when they didn't want to. That's what he said. Is that now the reasoning? In a land that says, God bless America, in God we trust. Stay tuned, friends, stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
If God, the Lord of nations, the creator of the universe, the one who chose Israel to be the apple of his eye, decided it was necessary to judge Israel and cast her out of his sight from the promised land for 2,500 years with the 10 northern tribes and almost 2,000 years with the two southern tribes, what should we reasonably expect God to do with the United States of America if we continue to offer our children to Moloch? In other words, to exercise profound selfishness and get rid of our children that the Bible says are supposed to be a blessing. Blessed is the man who has a quiver full, the Bible says. Maybe we're turned upside down. Maybe we're exactly like the Apostle Paul described to his Timothy, his ministry sidekick, when he said that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, unthankful, unholy. Isn't that what this is an expression of? Lovers of themselves, unthankful, and unholy. Among many other things that he describes there in the book of Timothy. So, as we consider this, we throw out a variety of different ways of looking at this, because sometimes it's not just one thing that is said, it's the collection of things, or perhaps a particular way of looking at it that actually catches our hearts. Because this is really an issue of the heart. This is not a social issue per se. It's been made a social issue. It's been made a political issue. But at root, it's not a political issue and it's not a social issue. It is a spiritual issue. Period. So, let's take a look at some things that Kamala Harris has said. Dr. Michael Brown wrote a piece, came out in the Christian Post in the last couple of days. During a town hall meeting earlier this month, presidential candidate Kamala Harris said, "I'll tell you, there are probably many here and watching who rightly have made a decision they do not believe in abortion. The point that I'm making," she said, "is not about changing their mind about what's right for them or their family. It's simply saying the government shouldn't be making this decision." Okay, so if the government doesn't make the decision, then why is it she wants to give permission to everyone else to make a decision to kill their children? She's not going to do that with regard to killing anyone else, is she? She's not going to do that with regard to allowing, getting the government out of legislating against rape, is she? So what makes this particularly sacrosanct? Is abortion sacred? Is it a sacred right, basically, as Kamala Harris is saying? She actually believes that many people have rightly made a decision that they do not believe in abortion. So then why is she promising to reinstate Roe versus Wade if elected? In her words, she will proudly sign back into law the protections of Roe versus Wade, which basically just says it's the person's decision, not the government's decision. Well, should we then pass a Roe versus Wade to legitimize murder or robbery or extortion because we rationalize somebody needs the money or wants the money? You see, you cannot follow that line of reasoning because it ends in total lawlessness. Lawlessness. And there's an individual in the Bible that is described as the lawless one. Who is that? Well, it's the counterfeit Christ. It's the Antichrist. It's Satan's emissary on the planet, the Antichrist, whose attitude, thinking, behavior, push, whatever you want to call it, legislation, is always against God and his precepts. So what Kamala Harris is actually saying is, we want to revert to an anti-Christ mentality so that everybody can do what they want. What Harris failed to completely understand is why many people rightly oppose abortion. Namely, because abortion takes the life of another human being. Could anything be more basic than that? Asked Michael Brown. That's why we have laws against murder, laws against rape, laws against kidnapping. All of them are transgressions against another person, aren't they? So why shouldn't we have the choice to do those things if we want to? Is that not, would government not be limiting our freedom to do that which we think is good, is right, to accomplish our particular purpose, kidnapping somebody else for a ransom or because we need the money, or raping because we feel the desire to have sexual relations or whatever? You see how this goes? So Dr. Brown goes on to say that's also why, more specifically, we have laws against infanticide. Even if the child has a congenital disease, even if the mother is simply incapable of caring for the little one, the one thing she or the father is not allowed to do is terminate the life of the baby. So obviously to do so would be to commit murder. So if Harris simply said, we don't believe the fetus has full personhood, that would be one thing. But that isn't quite what she's saying. Yes, there are many who rightly oppose slavery, said Dr. Michael Brown. That's why we need to get the ban on slavery not reversed, so you can make your choices and others can make theirs concerning slavery. Really? You see how ridiculous this line of reasoning really is. I want what I want, and I want it the way I want it, no matter what God says, no matter how it affects anybody else, even if it gets rid of 65 million of America's babies that were supposed to contribute to the greater society of the country and even underwrite through their work and participation of the society, the whole Social Security system. That's why we have a problem with Social Security, friends. It's because of abortion. 65 million lives purposely exterminated for the selfish purposes of mom, dad, parents, grandparents, and even pastors. And doctors, all playing the game, complicit in the carnage. Should slavery be prohibited by law because it is a moral evil, and abortion should be prohibited by law because it's a moral evil? Absolutely. The issue is abortion is a moral evil. So, Dr. Michael Brown says this is what Vice President Harris fails to acknowledge in the least. It is a massive moral blind spot. Well, it's an intentional blind spot because she's catering to a group of people that she relies upon to place her in office. That's why this is her number one agenda. Question. What would God, the Lord of nations, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who gave us life and also gave us liberty at the same time, what would he think or do or say, or how would he respond to a nation that would elect a woman that has given herself primarily, purposefully, intentionally, egregiously to the extermination of millions and millions and millions more of America's children? Think about it. And if you are supportive of that, then you are as guilty before God, even if you don't commit the abortion. Did you know that? How do we know that? If you were to go back to Romans chapter 1, you will read what happens. The Apostle Paul lays it out so clearly what happens when people begin to abandon the fear of the Lord. when people begin to abandon the God that they claim to exist, and they do not worship him as God, but their foolish minds and hearts become increasingly darkened. And then they become as fools. And they embrace that which is just the opposite of what glorifies God for their own purposes, their own benefits, and they justify it, including the practice of homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, bestiality, and all of those perversions, pedophilia. They're all perversions, and they're being justified because of the abandonment of the fear of the Lord. Now, Kamala Harris can say, well, she goes to church. She can claim to be a Christian. I don't know exactly what she really claims, but she claims to go to church, and she's campaigning in black churches. She doesn't seem to go anywhere else in church, but that's where she's campaigning, in hyper-liberal churches. And so she can claim to be whatever she wants to claim to be. She can walk into a garage and claim to be a car. But that doesn't make her a car, neither does going into a church make her a follower of Christ. The only people that are true followers of Christ are people that agree with Christ, people that agree with Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. He said, I don't say anything I don't hear the Father say. I don't do anything I don't hear the Father see the Father doing. In other words, he is the express image of the Father, the book of Hebrews tells us. That being the case, he cannot possibly be justifying a governmental affirmation of abortion. And so in Romans chapter 1, if you go to the end of the chapter, you find it's saying this. It's not just those who do those things, that is, practice homosexuality or transgenderism, any of those perversions, abortion, any of those. It's not just those who do those things, but those who approve them are held equally responsible before God, equally culpable before God, and therefore equally responsive to God's judgment. Now, you can justify it however you want. You can say, well, I feel. Well, you can feel like anything. You can feel like the morning star, but it doesn't make you the morning star. So our feelings are leading us astray. And the worst problem comes when you have a child, for instance, who has a daughter who has a child out of wedlock. Or maybe you have a son that impregnated a woman out of wedlock, and you don't want him to have to pay child support, and you don't want him as a young age to have responsibility of child. So you're in favor of abortion, and you encourage the abortion. You actually are performing the abortion from God's viewpoint when you do that. There's no difference. That's God's viewpoint. May not be yours, but that's God's viewpoint. He said so right there in his word. Now, Harris is promising more than just unrestricted abortion on demand. She's promising to make American Christians carry out and pay for abortions. In an NBC News interview, Harris was asked if she would consider making concessions on abortion if she were to win the White House in order to garner support from pro-abortion Republicans. And her response was that no concessions were appropriate to protect religious rights when it comes to abortion. Why is that? Because from her viewpoint, she's justifying abortion as a sanctified, sacred right. Really, it's a sacred right to do that which God prohibits? Murder? Killing life? The thing that he rebuked Israel for and brought extreme judgment upon Israel? You've got to be kidding me. This is irrational, friends. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today, we're taking a look at one aspect of the upcoming election. It has to do with whether or not we are going to embrace the abortion of our young, the unfettered so-called right to abort our young. That's the issue. Kamala Harris has made that her number one issue. She tries to avoid the issue of immigration, illegal immigration. She tries to avoid that. She tries to avoid a lot of issues and just talk around them. But the one she doesn't try to talk around is abortion. When she says that there will be no concessions if we are able to get the Congress to vote for total freedom to abort our children, there will be no concessions. And that's her goal. Mary Soka of the Family Research Council Center for Human Dignity confirmed immediately that Harris isn't pro-choice. She is pro-abortion. She's not pro-choice. She's pro-abortion. And she calls it a fundamental freedom. Now, how does abortion become a fundamental freedom? There's nothing in the Constitution that talks about it, because it would be totally antithetical to anything that the founders ever had in mind when the Constitution was written. So how did abortion become a fundamental freedom? Only because Kamala Harris wants to say it is. In other words, she's deciding to completely override the Constitution, to override the freedoms of America rooted in the fear of the Lord and the authority of God in his word, and to replace it with her own authority. In other words, for all practical purposes, she's making herself God. She's anointing herself as God. That's what you do when you disagree with what God has said. You anoint yourself as God, a surrogate God. You're a small antichrist. That's what you make yourself out to be. A small antichrist. So why would any Christian vote for her with her agenda to deny religious exemptions for abortion, forcing Christians to kill unborn children and to pay for it? Carlo Vignano, former archbishop in the Catholic Church, warned voters that Harris reports to Satan in a stunning condemnation of a presidential candidate. He said Harris is no friend to religious people. She actively stood on the side of religious oppression while in Congress and during the last 4 years as vice president. She believes in forcing religious health care providers to perform abortions, a procedure that goes against many of their deeply held religious beliefs. It's further proof that the Harris administration would be authoritarian and infringe on religious rights while masquerading as freedom-loving and tolerant. Did you hear that? They're accusing Donald Trump of the very thing that they are, authoritarian. In the name of freedom, authoritarian. to force abortion on religious Christian people and their businesses and their insurance companies and their churches. It's total deception. Total deception. We're dealing with something here, friends, that is so fundamental. It's fundamental to the very future of the country in many ways. But if you defy the God who made and preserved us a nation, you have, in effect, voted to destroy the country. It may not happen immediately, but it will happen. Israel's dispersion throughout the world through the Assyrian Empire about 2,500 years ago did not happen immediately, but it did happen. In fact, the 10 northern tribes can't even be identified now. That's why they're called the 10 lost tribes. And then the two southern tribes, a century and a half later, did the same thing. They didn't learn their lesson. The only thing they learned from history is that they didn't learn from history, and those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And that's where we are today. You cannot justify, unless you want to elevate your feelings and your personal rationalizations and decisions over and above what God says, which will prove whether we really are a people of true Christian conviction or not. That's what this is going to prove. This is not an issue that's mitigating against women. Actually, it's supporting God's purpose and plan for women. Not undermining it. What we have decided to do is change, alter the purpose, God's primary purpose for women, get them out of the house, out of the home, out of caring for their families, and into the workplace, ultimately replacing their husbands. And then they wonder why everything's turned upside down in our culture. And why it's so difficult to find men anymore. All of this is part of exactly the same issue, friends. Can it possibly be Christian to be pro-abortion? Absolutely not. It's impossible. You can call yourself whatever you want. Ryan Bomberger wrote a piece saying, rape is violence and abortion is paid violence. Imagine hearing over and over again that you should be dead. Imagine someone telling you on TV or in real life that you should have been aborted. That's what one woman says. That's been my experience nearly my whole life. I was conceived in rape. Actually, this wasn't a woman. This was a man, Ryan Bomberger. Lately, the tragedy of rape is being pervasively and politically exploited in order to justify all abortions. It's not because there's some sudden surge of compassion for rape victims, but because it's a useful fear tactic that bizarrely pretends the vast majority of abortions are due to rape and incest, which actually is less than 1%. Less than 1%. Look, we're deceiving ourselves. We're being seduced by the spirit of Antichrist in our midst, in our country, in the church, and in our own families. I urge you to get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints. It doesn't even talk about abortion. But it does talk about how we become seduced or deceived. It goes through all of the ways in which we are so easily seduced. That's why the Bible talks about being seduced, about being deceived. Jesus said, in fact, that the number one characteristic of these end times would be deception. The number one characteristic. You can read about it right there in Matthew chapter 24. I urge you to get a copy. If you do not have the book, Seduction of the Saints, you need to get it. For your own sake, for your family's sake, for your congregation's sake, my friend, people have said that it's the most important book they ever read other than the Bible. Why? Because it makes it all so real, so applicable. It helps us to understand. It's an $18 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Should be a 20-some dollar book, but it's not. So, $15 will put Seduction of the Saints in your hand. Go to the website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. You're not going to be disappointed. I can almost guarantee you're not going to be disappointed. It covers such a wide range of issues, friends. In fact, as I share this with you right now, it's hard. It would be hard for you to comprehend the vast application of that book for your life. It's not a theory. It's not about theories. It's about reality. Now, why would the Satanic Temple be promoting abortion and opening up a satanic abortion clinic in the Commonwealth of Virginia? That's right. Finally, if nothing else, we have at least attained a level of honesty for the proponents of uncontrolled abortion access opportunities, said former Judge Phil Ginn. The self-named Satanic Temple has now unleashed their demonic presence on the state of Virginia with their second abortion clinic. And they're all cheering Kamala Harris on in her presidency. The Satanic Temple. The devil worshipers have launched the Right to Your Life Satanic Abortion Clinic in the Commonwealth of Virginia. The latest endeavor also comes with the continuing blessing of Cosmopolitan Magazine and their evil subscribers, who are all complicit in this evil. To make the whole process run smoothly, they also set up to be a telehealth provider for their cocktail of death. Wow. We'll be right back, friends. We haven't finished yet. Stay tuned. This is Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
For a moment, we shift from the Satanic Temple abortion clinics to the former First Lady of America, Michelle Obama. She said, "Women are more than baby-making vessels." True, But what she's actually doing is putting down God's fundamental design for women. She doesn't like it. She wants to be something other than a baby maker. She wants to be a president's wife. She wants to be out in the public arena. She wants to be on display. She doesn't even have her own children. Did you know that? Her children are adopted. Now, there's nothing wrong with adopting. Maybe she couldn't have children. Maybe that's the reason why she wants to proclaim that women are more than baby makers. I don't know what her motivation is, but that's what she said. The former first lady strongly criticized recent abortion bans, asserting that women shouldn't be reduced to mere childbearers. She warned that women could become collateral damage if state laws continue to set limits on abortion. How are women damaged by that? If God's fundamental design for women was to be bearers of life, and for which every woman in the Bible yearned for, including Abraham's wife Sarah, including Hannah, who cried out to the Lord for a son. It was the fundamental desire, the most precious desire of every woman in the Bible, to bear a child so that they would not be barren. Barrenness was considered a curse. Today, it seems like Michelle Obama thinks, no, that's a blessing. Meanwhile, pro-life and faith-based advocacy groups have criticized Harris for suggesting she wouldn't support religious exemptions to a nationwide abortion mandate. She said, I don't think there should be any concessions. So the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America group cited Harris's comment as evidence that she would federally steamroll Americans into taking part in abortions against their will. In other words, she would use authoritarianism to go against your spiritual convictions and force you to comply. Now, who's against freedom and who's not? Who's against democracy and who's not? The advocacy group, Catholic Vote, posted a clip of the interview stating that Kamala Harris admits she would deny religious exemptions, forcing Christians to kill unborn children and seemingly doubling down on weaponizing the government to jail pro-lifers for praying outside abortion facilities. Why would any Christian vote for her? Now, notice, she doesn't want government to interfere with a woman's right to kill her kids, but she wants to use government against those who don't believe that's right. Do you see the monumental hypocrisy here? It's just bizarre. And she purports to be a lawyer. There's no rationality in her thinking. Ralph Reed, president of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, reacted by saying she's not only pro-abortion, she's anti-religious freedom. And it's true. Harris has made the passage of a bill in Congress to restore reproductive freedom nationwide a centerpiece of her campaign. It's not reproductive freedom, friends. That's a euphemism to make it sound like it's all about liberty. No, it's not about liberty. It's about exterminating life, because you cannot have liberty without life, and she wants to get rid of life. So we go back to the Satanic Temple. As an added bonus to the killing of unborn children, the Satanic Temple provides an abortion sacrament, which is a destruction ritual that serves as a protective rite. Protection of what? Listen to this. It's designed to cast off notions of guilt, shame, and mental discomfort. It reminds me of that bumper sticker that came out of the 1970s or 80s that said, "Screw guilt." In other words, pretend you're not guilty. You can't do that. You can't pretend that you're not guilty because deep inside, there's a spirit that convicts you. And then if you don't yield to the conviction and repent, it condemns you. Then you're worse off than you were in the first place. So not only can you kill your baby at this horror show at the Satanic Temple, but you can also participate in a satanic ritual at the same time to absolve yourself of any feelings of guilt and responsibility that come with participation in an act of murder. Now, how do you do that? Can Pontius Pilate wash his hands and really get rid of the guilt and the responsibility for telling the Jewish leaders to go off and murder Jesus? Which he did, and gave the Roman authorities the permission to do it, to implement it. So they were all guilty. It wasn't just the Romans. It wasn't just Pontius Pilate. It was the Jewish leaders, Rome, and Pontius Pilate. They were all guilty before God of killing the Messiah. Now, the entire scenario is being played out before us in consideration of the increased significance of abortion in this upcoming election. The current Vice President, Kamala Harris, is vowing to increase access to abortions across the board, even up to within minutes of birth. Now, when her vice president tried to argue on television that that's not what his bill did that he signed in Minnesota, he was proven to be wrong. He lied even about the bill that he signed, which did exactly what he was being accused of, to take the life of a child right up to the time of birth. Now, this judge writing about this, Judge Phil Ginn, says, of course, the entire scenario is being played out before us in consideration of the increased significance of abortion. So he says, all this sounds so eerily familiar to that of the slogans employed by the Nazis in extermination of the Jews, doesn't it? That as the trains carrying the boxcar loads of Jewish men and women and children to their deaths in the gas chambers passed by German churches, the churches played their hymns more loudly in order to drown out the plaintive cries of the victims of the Holocaust. Their bloody day of infamy filled heaven with the stench of their hypocritical rebellion against God. So the judge says, let me be perfectly blunt. If those who call themselves Christians do not go to the polls to vote against this atrocity in this upcoming election, can we then escape the same condemnation? The answer to the rhetorical question is no. You can rationalize, you can justify, but as the Apostle Paul wrote in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly or carnal rationalizations, but mighty through God to the bringing down of strongholds. That we should bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down our reasonings and thoughts, imaginations, our reasonings and thoughts, and everything that fights against the knowledge of God, and bring every one of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Are you willing to do that, friend? Even if your son, your daughter, becomes pregnant out of wedlock? Even if you have a friend, a relative who is in that situation? Pastor, are you willing to stand in the midst of a congregation where many of your people are aborting their children and rationalizing and reasoning submitting to the spirit of Antichrist in order to justify what they want to do. This is not compassion, friends. God is compassionate. We are not. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to change our want-tos because we just want what we want when we want it. However we can accomplish it, we want what we want when we want it, even if it means killing our kids. Instead of counting them a blessing, we look at them as a curse, something that is keeping us from accomplishing something more grand, not realizing that we're actually setting ourselves up for the judgment of a holy God. I hope this has been somewhat helpful. Just to repeat a few things here and then to frame them in a variety of different ways so that we can actually see things for what they really are. There's no lack of compassion in what was shared today. It's all about compassion from God's viewpoint. From God's viewpoint. So what viewpoint do you have? Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Please don't delay. This is a challenging thing to do, to confront the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective day after day for 29 and a half years now. But we're doing it because God cares. He's a merciful God, and he desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even professing Christians who have found themselves in situations, maybe you've been involved in an abortion. Maybe you've aborted your child. Maybe you've supported other people who did. Come clean before God. Confess it. And then turn from it and be public about it. Don't play pretend. It's time to get serious before God. This, my friends, is why we have no revival in America after 40, 50 years of belly aching before the God of nations for revival. We're just not in accordance with his will. But God is watching over his word to perform it. He's not watching over our desires to perform them. He's watching over his word to perform it. And when our desires line up with his word, then hope is resting on the wings of the morning, because God desires to carry out his word. He's not a man that he would lie. He's not like our politicians. No, he's a God of truth and justice and mercy and compassion. When God takes compassion, it's not a feeling. It's an action. He does something about it. So if you're really compassionate about people who are caught in these various kinds of situations, you'll do something about it instead of urging them to abort your children. Get a copy of the book, Seduction of the Saints. It's going to be very encouraging to you. It's an $18 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. Seduction of the Saints, staying pure in a world of deception. Staying pure in a world of deception. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Go to the website, saveus.org. Get the book today. Begin to read it a little bit at a time. Absorb it. Talk to the Lord about it. I think it'll be a great blessing to you. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, and $6 for postage and handling. God bless. Be a blessing, friend. And let's be in prayer. What we're facing is potential destruction of our country if we don't agree with God.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.